A credit card swipe takes maybe 2 seconds. But in those 2 seconds, like an invisible ecosystem of banks and processors just takes a cut of your money.
Yeah, and it adds up really
It
fast.
really does. According to the latest Nilson Report data, those tiny 2 second cuts added up to $198 billion in merchant fees in 2025.
Wow.
Yeah, that is a 70% increase since 2019.
Right, and that number is only climbing. I mean, if you were operating a business right now, you definitely feel that squeeze on your margins every single month.
You really do.
Yeah.
So, welcome to this deep dive. Today, we are talking directly to you, the operator of a United States merchant business.
Specifically processing anywhere from $25,000 to $5 million a month in volume.
Exactly. Think of us as your internal MyPay advisor team. I am your analyst.
And I am your senior payments advisor sitting right across the table.
We are going to show you exactly what you are paying for this year, and we are going to back everything up with hard numbers. We pulled the latest data from the Nilson Report, Federal Reserve Regulation 2 statistics, and Visa's internal rules.
Yeah, plus a complete breakdown of current processor pricing models. But, we need to establish a baseline for 2026 right off the bat before we do anything else.
Okay, what is the baseline?
Well, look at your monthly processing statement. If your effective rate is higher than 2.4%, money is leaking out of your business.
Just flat out leaking.
Yes. The goal today is to find exactly where that money is going.
Because, I mean, you cannot fix a leak if you do not understand the plumbing.
Right.
So before we can show an operator how to get their rate under that 2.4% threshold, we have to look at who is actually taking the money during a transaction. Walk me through the actual anatomy of a card fee.
Sure. So you have four distinct parties touching the money on every single card sale.
Okay.
You have the cardholder, you have the merchant, your acquiring bank, which is basically your processor, and the cardholder's issuing bank.
Okay, so the issuing bank takes the first cut.
They do. The issuing bank takes the very first cut. They're the ones funding the transaction. So they take that cut, which is called interchange.
I want to stop right there because interchange is the core of this entire issue. Why does the issuing bank get the privilege of taking the first and largest cut?
Mostly because they carry almost all the risk.
Yeah.
I mean, the issuing bank is essentially giving the consumer a 30-day interest-free loan.
Oh, that makes sense.
Right. They are carrying the fraud risk if the card is stolen. They are managing the chargeback risk. And they are the ones paying for whatever rewards program is attached to that specific card.
Like cashback or airline miles.
Exactly. Because they take the lion's share of the risk, interchange usually accounts for 70% to 90% of the total card fee on your statement.
Wow. So interchange is essentially the wholesale cost of doing business.
Precisely. It is the wholesale fee deducted from every Visa or MasterCard transaction before the funds even pass to your processor.
And Visa and MasterCard set these base rates, right?
Yeah, twice a year.
Yeah.
In April and October, it is completely out of the processor's hands. Based on Visa's own rules, merchants negotiate a merchant discount with their processor, but the processor does not control that base wholesale rate.
Okay, so this sounds a lot like buying a car at a dealership.
How so?
Well, Visa and MasterCard are the manufacturers setting the base price of the vehicle. The processor is the local dealership. They take that base price and then add on their destination fee, the undercoating, and, their own markup.
That is a great way to put it.
But if processors cannot waive or discount the base interchange rate from the manufacturer, how are they actually competing on price?
That is the thing. Processors only compete on the markup they add on top of the wholesale cost.
Okay.
They cannot touch the interchange, so they compete entirely on how they package their margin.
Which leads right into why merchants overpay.
Exactly. The pricing model they lock you into dictates exactly how much margin they can hide.
Okay, so since processors can only change their markup, how they present that markup to you changes everything. Let us look at the three main pricing models out there right now and figure out where the traps are.
We will start with a flat rate model. You see this with companies like Stripe, Square, and PayPal.
Right, the really popular ones.
Yeah, they bundle everything into one simple rate. It is usually 2.9% plus 30 cents on every transaction.
Super simple. What is the second one?
Next, you have tiered pricing. This one is highly deceptive.
In what way?
Well, they will quote you a teaser qualified rate, maybe 1.59%. What they bury in the fine print is that rewards cards and corporate cards are immediately downgraded
Downgraded to what?
into a non-qualified bucket. And that often runs at 3.49% or even higher.
Wait, okay. If flat rate hides the markup in one big bucket
Yeah.
and tiered pricing uses these bait and switch buckets, There has to be a model that actually just shows me the math.
There is. The third option is interchange plus pricing.
Interchange plus.
Right. This is the transparent model. It exposes the true wholesale cost as a separate line item, and then it just adds a fixed processor margin on top.
Like interchange plus 0.20% and 8 cents per transaction.
Yes, exactly like that. You see exactly what the issuing bank took and exactly what the processor took.
Okay, let us bring in some data from the Federal Reserve to show why that transparency really matters.
Sure.
Looking at Regulation 2 data for covered debit issuers, which means banks with over $10 billion in assets, the average interchange fee is just 23 cents per transaction.
Right, because the Durbin Amendment mandated that cap. The government basically stepped in and limited what those massive banks can charge for a debit swipe.
Because debit is essentially a digital check.
Exactly. It draws directly from available cash, so the risk of default is virtually zero.
Okay, I understand why operators like the flat rate model. It feels predictable. It feels like an all-you-can-eat buffet where you pay one price at the door and you do not have to think about it.
Sure, it is easy.
But if the Federal Reserve mandates that big banks can only charge 23 cents for a debit transaction and my processor is charging me 2.9% on a $100 sale?
They are pocketing over $2.50 on that single swipe.
Wow.
Yeah, they are capturing all that margin. Think about a merchant processing $300,000 in monthly volume with a 30% debit mix.
Okay, tracking.
If they are locked into a 2.9% flat rate, they are paying roughly 2.85% of pure processor markup on those debit transactions.
On debit.
Just on debit. On that volume alone, they overpay by $7,209,000 a year.
That means my customer's basic checking account debit card is paying for the processor's profit margin.
Yes.
And it is subsidizing the rewards points for the next customer in line who hands me a premium travel credit card.
That is the flat rate trap in a nutshell. The flat rate hides the underlying cost so well that you never see your cheapest transactions funding your most expensive ones.
The penalty of being on the wrong pricing model has to multiply incredibly fast when we start talking about business-to-business merchants.
Oh, massively. If you are a B2B operator, the bulk of your volume is not consumer debit cards, it is corporate cards.
Right.
And this brings us to a major blind spot regarding enhanced data.
Enhanced data. Okay, explain that.
Commercial cards inherently carry high base interchange rates. However, Visa and MasterCard offer lower rates if the merchant transmits enhanced data with the transaction. We are talking about level 2 or level 3 data.
But why do Visa and MasterCard care about extra data? Like, what is in it for them?
Well, commercial cards are corporate expense cards.
Mm-hmm.
Visa and MasterCard want to give corporate finance departments granular tracking.
So level 3 data includes what exactly?
Really specific fields. We were talking about the freight amount, the destination postal code, the duty amount, item product codes, the unit of measure, and the discount applied per line item.
That sounds like an entire invoice.
Because it is an invoice. Corporate purchasing departments rely on that data to audit their own employee spending.
That makes sense. If a procurement officer at a massive corporation is reviewing expenses, they need to know if an employee bought an airline ticket or $3,000 worth of office supplies.
Precisely. And by transmitting that invoice data through the payment gateway, you are doing the data entry work for the card issuer and the corporation.
And in exchange for doing that work,
the network lowers your risk profile and gives you a massive discount on the interchange rate.
Okay, but what if a B2B merchant does not send that extra data? Like, what if they just swipe the card and send the total amount?
If you are missing those data fields, the transaction automatically defaults to a standard tier.
Which costs how much?
That rate usually sits at roughly 2.95% plus 10 cents.
Oh, okay.
But if you transmit level 3 data on that exact same card, the wholesale rate drops to 1.90% plus 10 cents.
Wait, that creates a 1.05% gap on every single swipe.
Yes.
A 1.05% penalty just for missing a few fields of data? That is like going to the post office to mail a package, and because you forgot to write down the zip code, they automatically charge you the highest possible overnight shipping rate.
That is a perfect comparison. Let me walk you through the actual math. Take a real business-to-business software vendor based in Texas doing $300,000 a month in volume.
Okay, got it.
Their card mix is 65% commercial credit. If they are on a standard 2.9% flat rate, their monthly fees are going to be over $8,800.
Ouch.
Right. But if they move to an interchange plus pricing model and enable level 3 data for that commercial volume, their effective rate drops to roughly 2.52%.
Hold on. Let me make sure I'm hearing this right. What does that mean in actual dollars for this software vendor?
It means their monthly bill drops from over $8,800 to about $7,535.
Wow.
Over the course of a year, that saves them between $22,000 and $26,000.
You are telling me a business could save the equivalent of buying a new car every single year just by checking a box that passes along the sales tax amount and a few invoice details.
Yes, exactly. That is the reality of commercial processing.
I want to clarify something for our operators listening right now, because this is huge. To capture that $26,000 in savings, they did not launch a new product.
Nope.
They did not raise their prices on their customers. They did not hunt down new clients to increase their processing volume.
Zero volume growth is required. It requires zero changes to the product or the customer pricing.
So what does it take?
All it requires is an afternoon of looking closely at a statement, signing a transparent contract, and toggling a setting in their payment gateway so those level 3 data fields populate.
So it is purely operational hygiene.
100%.
Okay, so we fix the pricing model. We negotiate interchange plus pricing. We enable level 3 data fields. We should be good to go, right?
You would think so.
But say I look at a processing statement after doing all of that, and the baseline interchange rate is still inexplicably high. What invisible switch is flipped in the background that we are missing?
That is usually an issue with your merchant category code.
The MCC.
Right. The Merchant Category Code, or MCC, is a 4-digit number that classifies your exact business type. It directly drives your interchange placement.
Because it tells Visa and MasterCard what your risk profile looks like.
Exactly. Visa needs to quantify risk. Think about a jewelry store. They have a high risk of fraudulent chargebacks because they sell easily fenceable luxury goods with high ticket prices.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right. But a grocery store has a very low risk profile because the ticket sizes are small, and nobody steals a credit card to hoard produce.
True.
So if you are coded correctly, you pay a rate that reflects your specific industry risk.
Okay, so what happens if the code is wrong?
Say that jewelry store is coded incorrectly as miscellaneous retail. Visa assumes the worst case scenario.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the processor will place them in a higher risk bucket, and they will pay a higher base interchange rate on every single transaction than a store properly coded as jewelry.
And how often does that actually happen?
All the time.
Yeah.
Most of the time, these errors happen during initial onboarding when a rushed sales rep selects the wrong drop-down menu.
And nobody ever goes back to review them?
Never. The merchant overpays for years.
The merchant has no idea they were misclassified. They just pay the inflated bill every month.
Exactly. And even if you fix your category code, the car brands themselves are constantly moving the goalposts.
Right. The networks raise fees quietly.
They do. The Nielsen report highlighted this clearly. In 2023 and 2024, card brand fee adjustments lifted total merchant fees by an estimated 0.10 to 0.15%.
And these changes typically happen in April and October, right?
Yes. And unless you are actively comparing your statements month over month, you will never notice the fractional increase.
I want to push back on this on behalf of our operators, though. A lot of merchants assume they are protected from these changes.
Yeah, they do.
They will look at their processing contract and say, hey, I have a fixed rate guarantee. I signed a 3-year agreement. My processor cannot just raise my rates. Are they not protected from these hikes?
That is a very common misconception. We really have to correct that right now.
Okay, correct it.
If you read the fine print in Schedule A of your processing contract, the rate guarantee clause only protects the processor's markup.
Oh, so the wholesale cost can still go up.
Right. The wholesale interchange and the network assessments are explicitly defined as pass-through costs. They're excluded from that guarantee.
So the processor's profit margin stays completely safe, and the merchant absorbs all of the network inflation.
Exactly. The processor maintains their agreed-upon margin, but the merchant's overall effective rate continues to climb every 6 months.
Without any required approval from the merchant?
None at all.
Okay, this has been an incredibly data-heavy session. We covered pricing models, debit subsidization, level 3 invoice fields, and category codes.
It is a lot to take in.
It is. So I want to bring it all home and give every operator listening the immediate action plan. What should they actually do this week to stop the leak? Lay out the My Pay Advisor playbook.
Sure, here's the 4-step playbook. Step 1 is calculating your true effective rate.
How do they do that?
Pull your last 3 processing statements. Take your total fees for the month and divide that number by your total processing volume.
So if you process $100,000 and pay $2,500 in fees, your effective rate is 2.5%.
Exactly. That is your baseline.
And that tells you if you are above that 2.4% threshold we established at the beginning. Okay, what is step 2?
Step 2 is verifying your current reality. you need to request a written fee summary from your current processor.
Written, not a phone call.
Right. Do not accept a phone call from a sales rep. Get an email verifying exactly what pricing model you are on.
Got it.
Ask them to clearly state in writing if you are on flat rate, tiered, or interchange plus. You cannot negotiate if you do not have proof of your current model.
Makes sense. So step three is where the actual negotiation happens.
Yes. Step three applies if you are processing over $50,000 a month. If you hit that volume, you must demand interchange plus pricing.
What numbers should they target?
When you get competitive quotes, your target should be an interchange plus markup of 0.10 to 0.25% for retail environments.
And what about online?
If you operate online or in card-not-present channels, your target is 0.20 to 0.40%.
Okay, and the final step is maintenance.
Step four is defensive monitoring. Set calendar reminders for April 1st and October 1st every year.
Because that is when Visa and MasterCard adjust their base rates.
Right. You must audit your statements in those specific months to check for card brand fee hikes. You also need to ensure your processor has not quietly expanded their own margin under the guise of a network increase.
Wow. Okay, so pull your statements to find your effective rate, get your pricing model verified in writing, demand interchange plus pricing with the right margin, and audit every April and October.
That is it.
That is a playbook an operator can execute this week.
And those first three steps do not cost a dime. They just take an afternoon of focused work, and they unlock more margin than almost any other operational tweak a business can make.
As we wrap up this strategy session, I want to leave you with a thought as we look toward the future of this industry. We just talked about level three data fields that require granular inference details, merchant category codes that define risk profiles, and network adjustments that happen twice a year.
Yeah, it is a lot.
With payment networks continuously adding hyper-specific subcategories and new pricing tiers every 6 months, the landscape is only getting more complicated.
It is basically becoming a maze of microtransactions. The data sets are getting far too large for a human to review manually.
Right. So here's the question for you to mull over. Will the sheer compounding complexity of auditing these fractional pennies eventually force every mid-market merchant to rely entirely on artificial intelligence just to negotiate and monitor their payment contracts?
It is a good question.
Because at the end of the day, you can only fix a leak once you know exactly where the water is going. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. Check your numbers, and we will see you next time.